Good morning, everybody. It's a great privilege to be here with you this morning, especially because this church is very important to Global Recordings Network. There are five people who are members of this congregation who are associated with our mission. Rob and Kathy have been with the mission for many years. Noel and Mary Batchelor have been with it for even more. And Rihanna Torrance is a board intern. So your church has made a huge investment in GRN. And so I've been asked to come here and talk about cross-cultural mission. Is it worth it? And I thought telling you a bit of my story might help you see how God works in our lives and what can result from that. So you see that PowerPoint up there. One thing that I've always really liked is cars. When I was little, I used to love helping my father fix the car, and he was always fixing the cars. And so that was something that I spent a lot of time doing. Little did I know it would prove very useful in later years. And I also love learning to drive, and I love driving. And so that is something that has proved surprisingly useful. When I was finishing high school, I wasn't a Christian. And I was, what do I do after high school? And I was tossing up between economics and electrical engineering. I know they're a strange couple of options, but I really was having trouble making the decision. And providentially, I got a cadetship with the Electricity Commission of New South Wales, which meant that they were paying me to go to university to study electrical engineering. And so that solved my dilemma. And I went for engineering. And that engineering job took me all around New South Wales. About halfway through the course, I went up to Musselbrook. No, I went up to Morisset, where I was working in a power station. And I was invited along to a Bible study that met at lunchtime. In power stations, lunchtime is very boring. And so I went along to this Bible study, and it was through that that I came to faith. And so that was the first step. About a year later, I moved to Yass. My first Friday night in Yass, I went along to a meeting at the Anglican Church where the minister was talking about his recent adventures in Papua New Guinea. And I remember thinking at that time, God put the thought into my head that one day I would take the gospel to people who might otherwise never have the chance of hearing it. And that really began my journey in mission. A few years later, I found myself in Musselbrook. And Musselbrook was an amazing experience. I was working in a power station. I was a cadet engineer. But I joined a local church, and I became a youth leader at that church. And God just did something quite amazing when I was there. Kids just came, and they became Christians. And a lot of those kids had been involved in witchcraft, and we had all manner of weird and wonderful things going on as a result of the spiritual warfare. And so that experience, it just opened my eyes to the fact, hey, God actually does something. And, you know, you can be telling people the gospel and sometimes they'll get it and their lives will change. And it's quite amazing. Out of that group, there's quite a few of us between leaders and kids who have gone into full-time missionary work. So that was a really formative experience. From there, I went to Papua New Guinea on a short-term mission. That was my first overseas trip. A few years later, I found myself in Orange. So as you can see, I'm travelling all around New South Wales and I'm going to different churches and I'm seeing how they work and how they don't work and what's different between different denominations. But in Orange, a couple appeared at our church fete from Global Recordings Network. And when I saw what GRN does, I thought, that's actually something I could do. And so that began quite a long period of praying, talking to friends, will I, won't I? And I went off to Bible college with a view of joining GRN as a recordist. Now, and while I was at Orange, I also became an announcer on the local Christian radio station. Radio Rema began broadcasting while I was there. They were looking for announcers. And so I went along and I had my weekly radio program, which was a lot of fun. And again, who knew that that was going to come into focus in the future? And so at this point, I go off to Bible college and God made it really clear that I was not to join GRN at this stage. Well, that I wasn't to join GRN. And I ended up joining SIM, and I ended up heading to Ecuador. So there's Ecuador. Ecuador is a country in South America. And I was going to a city called Guayaquil, which is the biggest city in the country. It's on the coast. It's hot, it's humid, it's dangerous, it's violent. And I was going there to do church planting, but I always knew that that was never going to happen. It was just one of those things that God had prepared me beforehand. And I arrived in Guayaquil, and I very quickly, in the first couple of weeks, I went up the mountains to visit the rest of the team. And I ended up in a little place called Loja. Is there any way you can actually indicate where Loja is on that map? It's in the south of the country, and it's up in the mountains. It's a rural city. So I found myself there. And the team were talking about, well, we've got everything we need to start a radio station except an electrical engineer. That's all we need to be able to get this radio station up and running. All the churches, the ministers fraternal wanted the radio station, all the missions in the area wanted this radio station. Because once you got out of the city, everybody was terrified of evangelicals. They had a really bad name. And the missionaries would go into a village and everybody'd run and hide and they wouldn't talk to them. And so the thought was, if there was a radio station, then people could hear the gospel in their own houses and then they might listen and that might break down some of the barriers. And so that's the reason why they wanted the radio station. And so I ended up moving to Loja and we ended up starting a radio station. We were on the air within 6 months. Now, you couldn't do that in Australia. To do that in South America is miraculous. It's only God's doing. Definitely not our great ability to work through the red tape in that nation. And so you see the photo there. That's me with my second car in front of our little transmitter house. The transmitter house was on the top of a mountain. And the road up to the transmitter house became a river when it was raining. And being on top of a mountain, every time there was an electrical storm, all the diodes in our transmitter would blow up and we would have to get in the car, drive up the mountain in the storm and change all the diodes. And so driving up the mountain became a really important thing to be able to do. With the radio station, I was the project manager, I was the engineer, and I was the bookkeeper. And the fellow there, that's David, and he was the manager, and he was Ecuadorian. And so we worked together very closely for the entire time that I was up there. The radio station, it was an amazing ministry. Lots of people became Christians through it. People were built up in their faith through it. And I was working predominantly with Ecuadorians and I was working with David. And that was really helpful because little did I know it then, but working with an Ecuadorian man, and I'm a woman, and I'm the engineer and he is the manager of the station. We both had to learn a lot about each other and each other's cultures and the different attitudes and prejudices that we have. And over the time, we became really good friends and we worked together really well. But it was really difficult at times. You know, just the whole, the culture, the way they treat women, it took us time to, you know, respect one another and understand one another. And so it was really a very growing experience for both of us, and I think really, really helpful for us. And I also worked with another Ecuadorian guy. I was helping plant a church as well. And we worked together in planting this church. And so I had the real advantage. I mostly worked with Ecuadorians rather than other foreign missionaries. And so I learnt how to work with people of different cultures. Running a radio station, getting it going, you know, just the bureaucracy and the red tape. You know, we had a situation where the government officials would come, they'd been, you know, we were accused of breaking the rules, and then we'd have to go through all of the information we had and, you know, try and convince them that what we were doing was okay. Just working through red tape and learning about how red tape works in a developing country was quite an experience. And, you know, it really is face-stretching. You saw the picture there of my car. That is my nice new car. My first car that I had there was a short wheelbase Land Cruiser, and it was very old. And I'm not exaggerating when I say any time I went more than about a couple of hours drive away, it broke down. And every time it broke down, you know, it would be, okay, what's wrong? Can I fix it? And I could almost fix it myself, which was good. There were a handful of occasions when I couldn't. And once I realised I couldn't fix it, I prayed. Do you know, every time that I prayed for help, my rescuer was in sight by the time I opened my eyes to look. That happened every single time. You know, God was there providing people to fix a car. And everybody who stopped could fix a car. You know, that is just truly incredible. Even the new car there, you see. I was driving somewhere with a carload of people and the car broke down. A carload of ladies and the car broke down. And I get out the jack and the jack wouldn't fit under the front wheel. It was too low. And so it's sort of like, okay, well, what do we do? And anyhow, this band of guys comes walking up the road and they just picked up the car and we stuck the jack under the car and then they just walked off and we changed the tyre and that was the end of the problem. And, you know, God just stepped in and provided time and time again when I really needed help. When I got back to Australia sometime later, I was with my mum in a van. And we were out near Menindee Lakes, out near Broken Hill. And I managed to get the van bogged up to the belly in bull dust. We got out of the car and looked at it and I thought, there's no way in the world my mother and I can get this car out of this. And again, I prayed. And as I opened my eyes, there was a tourist bus coming for us. And the tourist bus rescued us. And I thought, God is saying that I am just as present here in Australia as what I was over in Ecuador. And so there are just ways that it really was a faith-building experience being in Ecuador. Now, this lady here is Maria. We had a short-term team that came, and I was helping with the team, and we went out to a village, and there was some sort of function. And I talked to Maria afterwards, and she wanted to become a Christian. And so I prayed with her, and she dedicated her life to Christ. And nothing much happened with Maria for a few years. A few years later, I spent a year living in that village, and Maria really grew. You know, she had started to come to church. She'd started to go with the team to visit other villages. and she wanted to get baptised. The night before her baptism, she showed up at my house in a real mess. You know, she was just so upset. Her family didn't want to get it baptised. They desperately wanted her to go home so that she couldn't be baptised. And anyhow, we talked and she decided to stay and be baptised. And that photo is taken on the day of her baptism. So I'm still in touch with Maria. She's still walking with the Lord. And yeah, it's just a joy to see her walking in faith. Yesterday, I was chatting with a young guy. Well, he was a young guy then who lived in Loha. And he became a Christian when I was there. And I was asking him about his walk with the Lord now. And he indicated that, yes, he's continuing to walk with the Lord, him and his wife, and they're praying for different family members. And so the radio station saw many people come to faith, and we really did see a response on a big scale. But with Maria, you know, Maria was known as Crazy Maria in her village. She was not respected at all. She was considered, she had serious problems. And she's just a completely different person. And so, you know, the gospel really did transform her. And so they are things that happened while I was there. And I would say that, yes, you know, God prepared me for that. He prepared me for living there. But while he was doing that, he was actually preparing me for my next job. I came back from Ecuador after 10 years. I was burnt out. I really needed a rest, and I had a 3-year break. And then there's the thing of how I was prepared. I got used to driving. I got used to flying around the world. I learned how to work with people from different cultures, and especially people from developing countries. I was looking after the books for the radio station, which prepared me for, you know, dealing with money. And I was very much aware of the red tape and the frustration that comes from working in a developing country. And so they are ways that God really prepared me for the next step and the faith. You know, my time in Ecuador was bookmarked by two pretty amazing events. The first event was in my first months there. I was with a friend and we foolishly made the decision to go to a political rally to find out what the next president of Peru was likely to be like, because I did my language study in Peru. And when it finished, it was too late to catch a bus, and all the taxis were full of everybody else who was trying to get in. And there's no way in the world that two foreign ladies were going to be able to fight our way into a taxi. So we decided to walk. And as we're walking in places and we're thinking, we really shouldn't be here. This is a really dodgy part of town. And this Alsatian dog came up to us. Now, this is a country where all dogs are mangy and mistreated. This beautiful Alsatian came up to us and it walked with us all the way to our street. When we got to our street, it just turned around and it walked away. And that was an amazing provision of God for us in that place. And a couple of months before I left Ecuador, I was driving home. I was alone. I was driving home from a major city that was about 5 hours away from where I lived. And I was coming around a bend. And as I came around the bend, there were two petrol tankers coming towards me. One was on my lane, heading straight at me. The other one was down where it was supposed to be. I hit the brakes. My only thought was, I'm dead. And then nothing happened. I looked up and the petrol tankers were miles behind me. And my car was still sitting there on the road, stopped, even with the engine going. And it was just sort of like, don't ask me what happened. I'm thankful I'm still alive. And so, yeah, so that was quite an amazing experience. And so with things like that, you see that God is real and he's actually at work doing something. So after a couple of years of recovering from my time in South America, I received a phone call from Global Recordings Network. And they were looking for a CEO, and the question was, would I prayerfully consider applying for this position? And I almost laughed. Actually, had it been 6 months earlier, I would have laughed, and that would have been the end of it. But I agreed to pray about it, and over the course of a couple of weeks, God made it clear to me that I should apply. And yeah, GRN Australia, you hear about the Australian office, but we've got a major impact in those countries that you see up there on the screen. We send money, but we do a whole lot more than that. And through Rob and Noel, you have a major impact on this as well. One of the major things we do in the Australian office is that we provide infrastructure around the world. So a recordist in Pakistan makes his recording, they send it through the internet to the studio, and the studio looks at it, makes sure it's okay technically, and then makes it available to be able to be made publicly available to everybody. And we have got this, we've got a website, several websites, and an app called Firefish. And I can play you any one of 6,000 languages, a gospel message, very, very quickly. So this is Tagalog.
Ang pangalan ng unang lalaki ay si Adan, at ang pangalan ng unang babae ay si Eva.
Sila ay namuhay na masaya sa isang halamanan na tinatawag na Eden.
Sinabi ng Diyos sa kanila,
And so Rob is our tech services manager, so he is responsible for the team that organises all the technology that makes that possible. And Noel is our global studios manager, and he's the one who looks after all of the recordings and makes sure they're properly prepared and looked after. So, yeah, so you guys have got a major part in what GRN does. Kathy McDonald prepares our prayer notes. Are you praying for GRN? If you're not, contact Kathy, and I'm sure that she will make sure that you get the prayer notes that she spends a lot of her time preparing so that people can pray. And Mary is our receptionist. And, yeah, so if you ring the mission, you're most likely to meet up with Mary. So thank you for that contribution that you do make to GRN. And so for me, it is just really exciting that we have a major part to play in the work done in all of these countries. Now you might say, what has happened in these places? So in Nepal, I can tell you about a Tibetan village that has come to faith en masse as a result of GRN recordings. And it was through our team in Nepal, they made the recordings, they equipped the fellow who took the recordings back to his village, and they provided support for the fellow when his village kicked him out and wanted to kill him. They looked after him, helped him find work, and enabled him to go back and take the gospel to them. That village is now trying to reach out to other villages in their local area. In the Philippines, our team there were recently doing some recording in the north of the Philippines, and they went up there and they found a couple of language groups that have never had any materials in their own language, any Christian materials. The team found a local pastor who had been praying for these tribal groups for many years, and when our guys arrived, he saw them as an answer to prayer. They went and they worked with these tribal groups and they made the recordings. By the time they finished the recording process, these villagers wanted a church in their own language. And so now there are churches in that area that have been planted through the effort of actually making the recordings. And so that is a great impact that GRN has had. In Papua New Guinea, this is an older story, but a missionary by the name of Kevin Hovey, he was working with some people, a tribe up in PNG, and he was going on home assignment, coming back to Australia for a while. And so he left some records and a record player with these tribal people who lived in the jungle. He went away and then he came back a year or two later and found that the entire village had become Christian as a result to listening to those records that had been made by GRN some years before. So, you know, and I can tell you stories about all of the countries where we work. You know, God has been using the recordings that we make to build his church. We're not an organisation that plants our own churches, but we equip missionaries, evangelists, pastors, church planters, so that they can reach their own people, so that they can reach their neighbours who they can't communicate with very well because they speak a different language. And so that is a really exciting thing to do. And when I talk about how God prepared me for this role, if I go back here. Now, I spend a lot of my time normally travelling around to the countries where we work and visiting the people that we work with in these countries, our teams in these different nations. They are all run by local people. And so for me to have worked so closely with Ecuadorian Christians in Ecuador has really helped me to understand the problems that are faced in places like Myanmar and Bangladesh and Pakistan. You know, they're different countries, but a lot of the problems are the same. And I'm also aware of the things that I don't know. You know, like Ecuador is very different to Pakistan, but at least I'm aware of how it can be different. And that is really helpful in what I'm doing. To understand the red tape, you know, we think we've got bad red tape here. You know, I came back from Ecuador and my license was expired. It took me 15 minutes at the RMS to get a new license. I tried to renew a valid license in Ecuador and it took something like 12 months. You know, like, you've just got no idea just how complicated and convoluted simple things can be. But having lived there and been involved in running a business there, you know, I had that insight. And looking after money, you know, GRN has got a budget far greater than our radio station had, but that did prepare me for overseeing the finances of GRN here in Australia. And so, you know, so God has prepared me every step of the way, for which I am very, very thankful. And something that has just been constant through my missionary experience, at my commissioning service before I went to Ecuador, Revelations 5 was the Bible passage that I used. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. So this is talking about Jesus at the throne of God. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. So we know there's going to be people in heaven from every nation, from every language group spoken on the earth. You know, God is going to do that. And we know that God calls us to be his ambassadors. You know, we're supposed to be urging people to turn to God, to repent of their sins, to trust in Jesus and be saved. You know, each one of us is called to be ambassadors for Christ. And each one of us has the privilege of being co-workers with God. And so I feel very privileged that, you know, I'm not at work in Pakistan or Philippines directly, but I am actively helping the work being done there, as are the people at this church who are part of GRN. And so I've got the opportunity of being a part of that. And so, you know, when I was a teenager thinking about becoming an electrical engineer, you know, I didn't even know about missionaries. I wasn't a Christian. But God has guided me each step of the way and has enabled me to be in the position where I am now, where I can look back and see how he prepared me. When I looked at that position description for the CEO of GRN, it was as if somebody actually wrote about me. You know, it was a perfect fit. It was quite incredible. I couldn't believe my eyes when I read the position description. And so, you know, God is at work in you. It says in the Bible that, you know, he's going to finish the work he started in each one of us. We're not all called to be missionaries, but we're all called to be a part of reaching the nations for Christ. We're all called to be making disciples of every nation. And so whether you do that through prayer, whether you do that through financially supporting mission, whether you do that by going yourself, it doesn't matter as long as you're playing the part God calls you to play. And so I've had an amazing journey, and I'm very thankful for it. But, you know, you will have a journey, and mission is a part of everybody's journey. Just we all play a different part in it. So I hope you find that encouraging. I'm very thankful to God, and I'm very thankful to you guys for your support of GRN. Thank you.